Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Solarpack H1 2021 results presentation. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised today's conference is being recorded, and if you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Ignacio Artazcoz, Executive Chairman. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Solarpack's H1 2021 earnings call. I'm Ignacio Artazcoz, Executive Chairman of the company, and we have also in the call Pablo Burgos, our CEO, Javier Arellano, the Head of Corporate Development, and Luján de la Rica, our Head of Administration and Control. Our conference call will be split between a presentation and a Q&A session that will come after. Total duration of this presentation will be maximum 1 hour. The presentation we'll go through during the call is available in our website and in the CNMV website, together with our intermediate financial statements of the six months ended 30th June 2021. Let's move to page two, where we have an important disclaimer that applies to the information contained in this presentation. Page three contains the agenda of today's discussion. After the presentation, we will start a Q&A session. Please follow the instructions you have received to place questions. In the document that we have filed, you can also find an appendix with additional, more detailed financial information. Moving to page four, we want to highlight three key milestones of this period. First, H1 2021 results show a robust segment EBITDA of 24 million euros, with power generation consolidated as the main recurrent contributor to EBITDA. Our power generation business unit has executed in H1 slightly higher than our expectations at the beginning of the year. Comparing to H1 2020, power generation is slightly lower in results, mainly due to the sale in Q2 2020 of the 49% stake in Peruvian assets. DEVCON margin has been lower than in H1 2020, 11.5% versus 20%. Here we need to take into account that last year, H1 2020 margin was extremely high and not possible to extrapolate to other quarters. In H1 2021, we had a margin erosion also coming from our Araucana projects, Chile, with cost deviation that has been compensated with our healthy margin in the Malaysian 3SP project. Second highlight, our construction activities are making progress in Malaysia, Chile, and Spain, with 180 MW under construction. In Malaysia, 160 MW build and own will start operations in Q4 2021. In Chile, 22 MW put in operation build and sell, and 54 MW under construction. In Spain, 10 MW have transitioned to under construction. Third, we want to highlight our intense development activities in 2021. We continue at full speed in all target geographies, and we have 3.6 GW of projects participating or to participate in public or private tenders during 2021. We'll later deep dive in this development activity and explain the status of the projects. In page five, we have a summary of the key financial figures for H1 2021. As always, we differentiate and show the segment information and the IFRS one. In DEVCON, during H1, we have been executing mainly construction and development of 3SP in Malaysia and Araucana in Chile, with 42 million euros revenues, 50% lower activity than in H1 2020, and 1.4 million euros EBITDA. We have in H1 21 an 11.5% gross margin, in line with our guidance, and lower than the Q1 2020 gross margin that was 20%. Margin in 2021 has been eroded mainly due to higher construction costs in Chile due to logistics, civil works, and COVID-19 restrictions, partially compensated by 3SP project in Malaysia that is expected to generate strong margins during the year. In power generation, we show, as always, proportional information. Results for the semester are highly above our expectations at the beginning of the year. Difference in EBITDA in H1 2021 compared to H1 2020 is mainly explained by a perimeter difference due to the sale of the 49% stake of Tacna and Panamericana projects to Ardian, partially offset by higher contribution from Granja project in Q1 2021. In services, we are in line with our expectations at the beginning of the year, with slightly better margins than 2020. With all that, our total segment information shows an EBITDA of €24 million compared to €29 million in H1 2020, with all our key revenue control metrics maintained in line with guidelines. The IFRS reported information shows for H1 21 revenues of €50 million and EBITDA of €22 million, with an EBITDA margin of 43%. Let me please now hand over to our CEO, Pablo Burgos.
Thank you, Nacho. We'll continue with this operations review, and I ask you to move to slide number 7. In this slide, we review the balance between currencies of our power generation revenues. This is a KPI which we share amongst our investor base, and we like to keep track of it recurrently. Our target states 70% as the minimum amount in hard currencies. Our results in the first semester of 2021 account for 79% of revenues in hard currencies. So we are comfortably above the threshold. Shortly, we will see revenue in Malaysian ringgit appearing in this slide as a consequence of the commissioning of our Malaysian project. Please move on to slide number 8. In our development and construction business unit, there are currently 180 megawatts under construction in Malaysia, Chile, and Spain. As a reminder, all Chilean projects shown except San Marcos are executed under build and sell mode, while the San Marcos, Malaysian, and Spanish projects are executed under build and own mode. You can see from the pictures that the Malaysian 3SP project is almost finished, as well as two PMGD projects in Chile called Cortijo and Moya. Going back to construction status, the Malaysian project will be energized in the coming weeks, and the Cortijo and Moya projects are already connected and going through final testing and commissioning. San Antonio and Recoleta are expected to be completed before year-end, as well as the San Marcos project, including its battery energy storage unit. With respect to the Tejeda project in Spain, we expect energization to happen in the coming weeks, making a total of 322 megawatts built in Spain by Solarpack in the last 2 years. Again, in this quarter, our engineering and construction teams have worked very hard in Malaysia and Chile, facing restrictions and complicated conditions due to the COVID pandemic. We insist in our acknowledgement to all these people, which are key to Solarpack for accomplishing our goals. As mentioned by Nacho in the key takeaways, we had cost deviations in our projects in Chile due to COVID limitations and geotech challenges at the construction sites. Overall in the market, difficult circumstances and conditions are still there for the logistics of moving goods from China elsewhere. Shipping prices are still high, and there is no clear calendar foreseeing reductions in those. Now moving on to slide 9, let's review the status of our project portfolio as main contributor of our future growth. Overall, we had a slight increase in the number of megawatts of our project funnel from 8.7 gigawatts to 8.9 gigawatts of pipeline and identified opportunities. The regional split of this funnel sees reductions in the US and South Africa, with increases in Spain and Chile. By category, pipeline gets reduced in roughly 300 megawatts and identified opportunities increase in 458 megawatts. Slide 10 shows more detail of the overall portfolio. You will notice that 22 megawatts in Chile have been put in operation and thus removed for under construction status. If we focus in our more advanced projects, we have to say that the Indian 400 megawatt Gorbea project is still in the process of signing the PPA. The off-taker, called SECI, has formally extended the letter of award sunset to December 31st, 2021. The market situation in India has been delaying SECI's overall trading activities for the energy tendered in the bid we were awarded. Thus, we expect to complete the signature of the PPA in Q4 this year. Looking into the Ecuadorian project El Aromo, discussions for PPA completion are advancing at good pace once the new government has taken power. We expect to sign the PPA before year-end, and this project will move to backlog at that moment in time. In slide 11, we update the status of the projects we are developing for achieving short-term backlog status. It is a mix of geographies and build-and-own, build-and-sell projects. We are very positive that before year-end, we will achieve the transition to several of these projects into backlog status in geographies like Spain, the US, Colombia, and others. Summer has been intense in bidding processes. We have submitted a total of 658 megawatts in 3 different bids for long-term electricity supply contracts in Israel, South Africa, and Malaysia. Announcement of awarded projects is expected to happen before year. We will keep you posted in any relevant progress in these fronts. That was all from my side, and now Javier will continue with the financial review. Javier, please.
Thank you, Pablo. Now moving on to the financial review, if we go to slide 13, we see that the total segment EBITDA has achieved 24 million euros in H1 this year, mainly driven by PowerGen, which together with services continues to bring stability in the long run. Again, differences in differences versus H1 2020 are fundamentally explained by DEFCON, segment which booked very high above the guidance gross margins in H1 2020. We move to slide 14 to see DEFCON in more detail. We see that the DEFCON gross margin in the first semester stands within the guidance range, as Ignacio explained, at 11.5%. As we've already seen, some of the build and sell projects in Chile have seen lower margins due to construction cost increases caused by the international logistics market situation, cost overruns in civil works, and restrictions derived from COVID-19. These effects have been largely offset by the high development and construction margin of the 3SP project in Malaysia of 160 megawatts, which is scheduled to come into operation during the fourth quarter of 2021. If we look at H1 2020 figures for comparison, just as we shared in the previous trading update, we need to bear in mind that that especially Q1 last year saw very high gross margins of 26%, which contributed to the overall 20% gross margin seen in H1 2020, well above the 10 to 15% range. If we move to the next slide, to see Power Gen, we can see that this business unit has achieved revenues of 27 million euros and EBITDA of 22.7 million euros this semester, slightly above SolarPack's expectations for the period at the beginning of 2021. Note that our generation fleet has generated around 0.5 terawatt hour of energy this semester. Differences with H1 2020 come fundamentally from the different weighted average percentage owned in the Peruvian assets during this semester versus H1 last year, as a result of the profitable sale of the 49% stake in these assets that was closed in early Q2 last year. As for our portfolio quality metrics, as Ignacio has already shared, 82% of total revenues coming from PowerGen plus services were in hard currencies, and PowerGen revenues coming from contracted sources stood at 75%. Now, if we flip the page, please, to slide 16, we can deep dive in the services segment information. H1 2021 saw revenues and EBITDA at 3.9 million euros and 1 million euros, respectively, in line with our expectations at the beginning of the year for this business unit. Higher gross margin and EBITDA is driven by operational efficiencies derived from a bigger fleet serviced, which stands at 741 megawatts under O&M and 760 megawatts under AMS as of June 30, 2021. Now, if we move to slide 17, we can take a look at the IFRS financials. Operating revenues and EBITDA reflect lower build and sell activity in H1 2021 versus H1 last year. And as we can see, these differences have flown down to the bottom line too. In the following slide, slide 18, we can take a look at the evolution and breakdown of our net financial debt. IFRS net financial debt increased by 40 million euros during H1 2021, changing from 350 million at the end of 2020 to 390 million euros as of June 2021. This increase was mainly due to the cash invested in the projects under construction, as well as the debts raised for the 3SP project in Malaysia. Looking into our proportional net financial debt, we can differentiate debts at corporate level and debt confined in the project SPVs. On the corporate side, we ended H1 2021 with a net cash position of 18 million euros, while as for the proportional PowerGen net financial debt, it stands at 316 million euros for the assets in operation and 343 million euros if we consider the build and own projects under construction, which is a 3SP project, which raised debts this semester, as I explained. Now, Ignacio will run us through an update on ESG activities.
Thanks, Javi. So today we are also willing to highlight and report the progress of our ESG activities during the semester. In page 20, we show how our 2021-2023 ESG Master Plan is being implemented. As you know, our ESG Master Plan is a core element of SolarPack's strategy and is based on our company purpose, that is, to accelerate the transition to clean and affordable energy for all. We did split the plan in six axes with 15 line of actions and 52 specific actions to be implemented. During H1 2021, we have been progressing in line with the target set in the plan, with several actions already executed in the six axes. You have more details in the presentation. Here are only some quick examples of actions implemented. In the ESG strategy axis, we have updated our corporate policies. In organization and governance axis, we have adhered to the United Nations Global Compact Initiative Target Gender Equality, and become signature of the Women's Empowerment Principles. In Responsible Corporate Culture Access, we have created the ESG Internal Committee at SolarPack. Access 4 is Social Action and Sustainable Development. We'll deep dive into the following page. Access 5 is Sustainable Value Chain. We have updated the Supplier's Ethic Code here. Access 6, Energy Transition and Climate Change. We have adhered to the UN Global Compact Initiative Climate Ambition Accelerator. In page 21, we summarize our new social plan, approved and launched during Q2 2021. This social plan is a key element of our ESG master plan and is the heart of our axis number 4, social action and sustainable development. The target of the new social plan is to create positive impact, especially in the communities in which we operate, promoting and implementing social actions aligned with our purpose and with our commitment to the Global Compact Principles, the 2030 Agenda, and the Sustainable Development Goals to which we are especially committed. SolarPack's Board of Directors has approved a budget of €2.6 million for the period 2021-2023 for the implementation of this social plan. We will also put in place a social impact monitoring and reporting system to manage the plan and meet the ambitious targets we have set in this area. Let me please hand over again to Pablo.
Thank you, Nacho. Coming to the end of the results presentation, we review our long-term outlook. In this regard, we maintain our long-term targets coming out of our strategic plan and our extended guidance up to 2026. Our long-term guidance looks up to year-end 2023, when we aim to have a total of 1.2 to 2 gigawatts of capacity in operation or under construction. This will require a yearly order intake between 470 and 600 megawatts per year. In our extended guidance, these volumes go up, reaching 4 gigawatts of capacity under construction or in operation with a yearly order intake of 1,000 megawatts per year. In other business metrics, we target development and construction EBITDA margin between 10 and 15% of our revenues, and 70% of the megawatts built will be done in a build and own mode. In power generation operations, we target equity IRRs of 7 to 9% in hard currencies and 12% to 14% in soft currencies. The mix of hard and soft currencies aims at having two-thirds of our revenues in hard currencies. Also, the contracted versus not contracted revenue source is set at this two-thirds target. That was all from our side, and we can move now into the Q&A section. Sarah, please proceed.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. And to withdraw your question, you can press the pound or hash key. So that's star and one to ask a question. Your first question today is from the line of Vicens de Madrid from Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning. I had a few questions. Can you explain why is the Malaysian project, which you're saying is going very well in terms of margins, not affected by the higher capex costs that we are seeing in other regions? And you mentioned as well for your assets in Chile. That would be the first one. Then second, related to Gorbea, where you have said that you expect to sign the PPA at the end of this year. Is this a project that in the current environment you think it's still going to go ahead? Do the returns work for you, or you will be doing the numbers once you actually see when the PPA is being signed? And then my third one is related to auctions. Are you intending to participate in the upcoming Spanish auction where I think the bids will be open as from this week or already? And then also related to the US, I saw that you have eliminated 200 megawatts from the pipeline. Is this a region where you are expecting to do something, or is this a region where the situation is more difficult, or what is the situation there? Thank you.
Sorry, Virginia, which region are you referring to in this last question?
To the US.
US, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you, Virginia, for your questions. Coming to the first one about the Malaysian project. In the Malaysian project, there are two differences with other projects. First is the proximity to China, which has helped us to navigate better the cost increases of shipping and so on. Of course, we had some, but much less relevant than in projects like the Chilean projects or projects in Spain. And then an element which appeared in the Chilean project, which is, let's say, worse than expected geotech conditions, did not happen in the Malaysian project. This is, let's say, an element that goes within the risk of execution of every project. And this is a good example where we have seen projects going a bit south and a project going north, like this one. So I would say mainly these are the two elements, apart from, you know, a good performance of the subcontractors that we have hired there, and you know, and overall, you know, construction where everything went more or less seamless, taking into consideration all the COVID restrictions that we had around the projects, which we managed well. Second question is about Gorbea. Gorbea, I think we already shared some of the thoughts. Once the PPA is signed, we will have to look at the conditions of the basically of the module supply in 2022. But based on the current market outlook, we will have lower than expected DEFCON margins. But we believe that we will be meeting in any case the power generation IRR targets in these projects. On the DEFCON margin, again, this will depend on the specific moment the PPA is signed and how we look at the module market at this moment. On your third question, about the auctions in Spain. Yes, as you mentioned, it is correct that the auction is coming shortly in the first half of October. And we are currently going through the analysis and deciding how or if to participate. So we don't have a final conclusion here, and this is still a work in progress. And then, coming to your question on the U.S., yeah, we've seen a reduction in the pipeline. This is let's say a one-off related to one of the projects where as the development phase was progressing, we received final quotes for interconnection costs. We had the certainty of having grid access, but the costs for interconnection were a headwind to the project, were significantly above our expectations, and we decided that they could make the project very difficult to move into backlog status. So based on the progress of the project, we decided to stop development activities and remove it from pipeline. So it is more linked to specific situation in one of the project rather than to a market, let's say, a change or market event.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your keypad. And to cancel, you can press the hash key. So that's star and one to ask a question. There are no further questions at the moment, so I'll hand back to the speakers.
Thank you, Sara. If there are no further questions, I think we'll have the call coming to an end. Of course, as always, there will be a recorded version of the call in our website. And before leaving, we'd like to thank everyone for attending this call and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.